And grace and peace be yours, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I want you to notice, if you have your bulletin, keep it handy, to notice something similar between all three readings. Listen to Genesis 22:1. Sometime later, God, what's the verb? God tested Abraham. Go to the next reading in James, verse 13. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. Genesis 22:1. Sometime later, God tested Abraham. James 1:13. God tempts no one. And then in Mark chapter 1, verse 13, again, he was in the wilderness 40 days being what? Tempted by Satan. Tested and tempted. And in my preparations this week, in English, they're different, right? You get that their test doesn't necessarily have a negative impact, but tempt always does, right? Tempt actually means to try to entice someone into sin, hoping that they fall. The Bible says God tempts no one because God would never want anyone to fall, right? Now, we would say, well, God tempts no one. Not only would we say that, God doesn't want you to fall. God doesn't want you to stumble into sin and shame. But the Bible does say that God does what? He tests. So I was thinking, well, tempt and test. Okay, different words. And, you know, Greek is a highly refined language. I was thinking in English, test and tempt are two different words, related but different. And so I thought, I wonder what they are. I've never looked at this before. They must be different words in Greek, right? You know what the reality is? It's the same word. Isn't that crazy that Greek defines, it separates, it's always saying this is not that. One word, pyrazo, means to tempt or to test. He was in the desert 40 days being pyrazoed by Satan. But Genesis 22, of course, in Hebrew originally, but I looked it up in the Greek Old Testament. Sometime later, God pyrazoed Abraham. And in James, he talks about, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, pyrazo, having stood the test, pyrazo. And God doesn't pyrazo anybody. So how do you know? Wouldn't you like there to be a clean break? When the Pharisees come to put a difficult question to Jesus, guess what the word is? Pyrazo. When people want to undermine his ministry, they came and they pyrazo Jesus. I'd like there to be a nice clean break, but there's an ambiguity in Greek. If there's an ambiguity, how do you know? Is it test or tempt? Our translators render it test here, tempt there. How do they know to do that? And it's not just a grammatical question. This is the real question. In life, when stuff comes at us, how do we know? Right? That's the real thing. How do we know when hardship comes to us, is this a test or is this a temptation? I mean, the first thing is, does hardship come to Christians? Yes, it does. One of the ways to know is, where does it come from? Mark 1:13, Jesus is in the wilderness 40 days. It doesn't just say being tempted. It says being tempted by Satan. Temptation comes from Satan. Satan wants us to fall. As James says, that his work is to create the desire, the enticement, and desire becomes sin, and sin becomes death. I assure you, God never wants that. Right? Where does it come from? And the other thing is, what is its goal? The goal of temptation is to make a Christian fall. That's not a godly thing. So if we're experiencing a temptation, we have to set that under a box called, this is devil or stuff. This is my adversary trying to bring me down. Temptation is not from God. Temptation cannot be from God, James 1 says. But testing can. And that's a hardship, isn't it? Testing can. I said the words are related. They are a little bit. When you want to buy a car, what do you do with it? You test drive it. That's test in the good sense, right? You're test driving. You want to say, I like the looks of this car. I like this car manufacturer. Maybe I'm looking at a used car at a good price, but I want to know if it what? If it drives well, if it seems like it's well put together. Is this one? So you're testing it to see, will it pass the test? There's nothing wrong with that kind of test. And the reason the Greek word morphs into tempting is that sometimes people wanted to test something with the hope that it would fail. That's temptation. God tests, he doesn't tempt. If we're being tempted to do something contrary to God's will, that's not from God. But how many tests can come into our life? A lot. Of all stripes and flavors. I do want to look at several cases in the Bible just to have seen, because the first thing that happens to us when we start to go through that test, I do what you do, we say, God, why is this happening to me? Right? And if we're reflective, then maybe the next question becomes, God, what are you doing? Right? What are you trying to teach or show me? Here's some biblical examples of some things. Just real quick. Matthew 15, 21 to 28. I always love this passage. This is the passage in your Bible, we'll call it the faith of the Canaanite woman. Remember that this woman comes to Jesus and says, Jesus, can you heal my daughter? And what does he do? This is one of those cases where Jesus is not like what we hope to find him like. She wants her daughter to be healed, and the first thing Jesus does is he ignores her. He doesn't say anything. And then she presses him again. She's got the heart of a mother. Jesus, heal my daughter. And he says, I've only come to the lost sheep of Israel. He's brushing her off. But he's about to insult her. She says again, Lord, please heal my daughter. And he says, it's not right to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs. And you've probably heard sermons where somebody said, he used the nice word for dog. That's not true. He says, just plain old dog. He insults her. And this woman of faith, by the way, a Gentile, right? Not a person from Israel, a Gentile, says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And he says, woman, you have great faith. And he heals her. What is that? That's a test. It's a test. Jesus knew at the beginning he was going to heal her daughter. I've always wondered, why does he test her? I've preached sermons about it. Of course, several things could be. One of the things might be he's talking to this woman, but he wants to demonstrate to everybody there this was a woman of faith. I think that's one of the things he's doing. One of the things he's doing is she's a Gentile, and he's saying to everybody there that faith has come to the Gentiles. But I've always thought maybe this is what's going on. Try this on. Is Jesus trying to demonstrate to the woman herself that she has more faith than even she thinks she has? Right? That could be. Why does God test us? Sometimes to demonstrate that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the first 10 verses, St. Paul says he's got a thorn in his flesh. And if you know that passage, you know he never defines what it is. Something is in his life, some temptation, who knows what, maybe a physical ailment. We don't even know what kind of a thing it is. But he says a thorn in his flesh that persecutes him, and he pleads for God to remove it. 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, three times I pleaded with the Lord to take it from me. But he said to me, no. Right? That's not in the text, but it's going to say no. We say, well, Paul's a man of faith. If he asks God, then God will do what he asks. Is that right? Not always. He says, three times I pleaded, God, remove this. And God says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Sometimes we are going through a test to do what? To teach us to rely on God and not our own strength. The two words together, power and weakness. Whose power? God's power. Whose weakness? Paul. Mine. Yours. Sometimes God tests us to show us, to teach us to trust in him. 1 Peter 1, verses 6 to 7, St. Peter says, now, that's his word, now, for a little while, you might have had to suffer grief and all kinds of trials. Pyrazo, by the way. You might have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold may be proved genuine. That's a tough passage. It sounds nice. It's actually tough. Because I would rather say, Lord, don't test my faith. What's God say? You might be tested. Why? To prove the genuineness of your faith? Lord, don't do that to me, right? That's what I would pray. Don't do that to me. But he says these might come, trials, pyrazo. And he adds this, so that this might result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. When he's revealed, he's talking about the end of time. I might not even see it in the next couple of weeks. Or how about this, Matthew 5:29. This is Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount. One verse, if your right eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Now, by the way, it's a metaphor. He's not saying gouge out your eye, right? Anybody that's gouged out their eye is taking the text too literally. But what is that about? That's a refining. That's a refining. Jesus is saying there might be radical surgery in the life of a believer, maybe even certain friends, certain places we go, certain habits we nurture and feed. He says if it's going to cause you to fall, get rid of it. Why does God test us? For those reasons and more. Does he test us? Yeah. Imagine the test that Abraham faced. Abraham, you know Isaac, your son, the son of promise? I want you to slay him. Can you imagine? By the way, you should know this isn't the end of Abraham's life. He's had a whole life of faith. This isn't the first test. But I always love this. Whenever I talk about this text with Renee, she always says that if Abraham had told Sarah what was up, she would have never let them leave town, right? But Abraham's faith is powerful because he says to the servants, you guys wait here. We will worship. Did you catch this in verse 5? We will worship, and who will return? We will come back. Abraham gets it. God will deliver. The Lord will provide, and God does provide. But it's still a tremendous test of his faith. He passed that test. Does Abraham always pass the test? No. I want to mention two things real quick, just so we know that Abraham's not a statue. He's not perfect. I always love this. In Genesis chapter 12, Abraham and Sarah go down into Egypt, and Abraham says, by the way, the Bible tells us Sarah is a beautiful woman. And Abraham says to Sarah, you are so beautiful that they are going to kill you, or kill me, and take you as their wife. So he says, don't tell them you're my wife. Tell them you're my sister. He lied to protect his neck. That's not passing the test. God makes the Egyptians sick. They pray, why are we sick? And God reveals, Abraham has lied to you about his wife. And Pharaoh says, get out of here, you people. That'd be nice if he only did that once, wouldn't it? It happens again in Genesis 20. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 20. You're reading Genesis 20. You feel like, I've read this narrative before. No, it's because he does it again. Again in his travels, Abraham says, Sarah, tell them you're my sister because I don't want them to kill me. And again, God rebukes it. That's how we are, right? We pass the test, we fail the test, we pass the test, we fail the test. And that's why the Bible tells us about the temptation, not the testing, but the temptation of Jesus. Mark chapter 1, of course, it's in Matthew and Luke. Satan himself tests Jesus. By the way, the English translators correctly get this. He was in the wilderness 40 days being tempted. That's a present progressive. In Greek, it's a participle. That means Jesus wasn't tested briefly. He was being tested throughout the 40 days. 40 days long, Satan is tempting Jesus, trying to make him fall, trying to make him go against God's will. And what does Jesus do? Defeats him. That's the good news for us. We get temptations and we get trials, but in Jesus, there's one, thanks be to God, one who was tempted without falling. That's your salvation, right? Your salvation is not that you pass the test. Your salvation is not try harder. Your salvation is you trust in the one who defeated Satan. For 40 days he tried. Hebrews 4:15. Jesus has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. That's why that's in the Bible. All these passages, tests, trials, temptations, Jesus, who doesn't sin. God might test us to refine us, to teach us to depend on him, to achieve some long-term purpose, to remove a bad habit, to cause us to grow. But God still points to Jesus, just Jesus, over and over again. Look at the sinless one. Look at the one who conquered Satan. Look at the one who defeated Satan. And God is saying this to us this Lent always. By faith, his victory is what? Our victory. Right? By faith, the victory of Jesus is our victory. Amen. And we stand together. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.